Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Jai Gaura Nitai, Jai Gaura Nitai, Jai Gaura Nitai, Jai Gaura Nitai. Jai Jai Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Prabhupada. Prabhupada. Shri Radha Madhav Ki Jai. Jayam Vishnu Paramahansa. Paribrajaka Acharya Ashtotara Satoshi Sriman His Divine Grace. Abhay Charanarvinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Isvampratista Acharya Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jayananta Kota Vaishnavinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Premsika Ho Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadha Sri Bhasa Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopinath Shyamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhana Ki Jai. Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Navadeva Simaipo Dham Ki Jai. Gangamai Ki Jai. Chamurmai Ki Jai. Bhakti Dev Ki Jai. Tulasi Maharani Ki Jai. Sri Harinam Shankitan Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Nittai Go Premanandi Hari Ho. Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. All glories to the Assembled Devotees, all glories to the Assembled Devotees, all glories to the Assembled Devotees, all glory to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga Nitai Gopremandi Hari Hari Bol. So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 2. 3 to 5. 5 is on the board, yeah. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Saptamo Vaishnavam Dhamma Yam Anantam Prachakshate Garbho Babhuva Devaka Harsha Shoka Viparadana Saptamo Vaishnavam Dhamma Yam Anantam Prachakshate Garbha Bhubhava Devakya Harsha Shoka Virardhanaha Saptamo Vaishnavam Dhamma Yamanantam Prachakshate Garbha Bhubhava Devakya Harsha Shoka Vivardhana Saptamo Vaishnavam Dhamma Yamanantam Prachakshate Garbo Babuva Devakya Harsha Shoka Vivardhana. Saptamo Vaishnavam Dharma Tam Prakshate Garbo Bhuvava Devakya Shoka Vivardhana Vam Dharma Yamanantam Prachakshate Garbo Babuvas Divakta Harsha Shoka Vivardhana Saptamo Vaishnavam Dharma Tamanantam Prachakshate Harsha Shoka Vivardhana Saptamo Vaishnavam Dharma Yamanantam Prachakshate Bhavabhuva Devakya Harsha Shoka Vivardhana. Yamanantam Prachakshate Garbo Bhuvava Sikakya Harsha Shoka Vivardhana Saptamo Vaishnavam Dhamma Yadanantam Prachakshate Garbo Bhuvava Devakya Harsha Shoka Vivardhana. Saptamo Vaishnavam Dharma Yamanantam Prachakshate Garbo Bhuva Devakya Harsha Shoka Vivardhana. Saptamo Vaishnavam Dhamma Yamanantam Prachakshate Harsha Shoka Vivardhana Saptamo Vaishnavam Dhamma Yamanantam Prachakshate Garbo Bhuva Devakya Snavam Dharma Yamanantam Prabhakshate Garbo Bhuva Devakya Harsha Shoka Vivardhana. Saptama, the seventh, Vaishnavam, of Lord Vishnu, Dhamma, the plenary expansion, Yam, unto whom, Anantam, by the name Ananta, Prakashate, is celebrated, Garbaha, embryo, Babuva, there was Devakya of Devaki, Harsha Shoka Vivardhana, simultaneously arousing pleasure and lamentation. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace. Is Prabhupada the... Is Prabhupada? By His Divine Grace, Om Vishnu Paramahamsa Paribrajakacharya Ashtotara Satasishman Vaicharananda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Up to the Brahma Vimoha Leela, I think, yeah? Prabhupada trans. Just before that, yeah? Okay. Translation. Some of their relatives, however, began to follow Kamsa's principles and act in his service. After Kamsa, the son of Ugrasena, killed the six sons of Devaki, a plenary portion of Krishna entered her womb as her seventh child, arousing her pleasure and lamentation. That plenary portion is celebrated by great sages as Ananta, who belongs to the Vishnu, who belongs to Krishna's second quadruple expansion. Please repeat. Some of their relatives, however, began to follow Kamsa's principles and act in his service. After Kamsa, the son of Ugrasena, killed the six sons of Devaki, a plenary portion of Krishna entered her womb as her seventh child, arousing her pleasure and her lamentation. That plenary portion is celebrated by great sages as Ananta, who belongs to Krishna's second quadruple expansion. Purple. Some of the chief devotees, such as Akrura, stayed with Kamsa to satisfy him. This they did for various purposes. They all expected the Supreme Personality of Godhead to appear as the eighth child as soon as Devaki's other children were killed by Kamsa, and they were eagerly awaiting his appearance. By remaining in Kamsa's association, they would be able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, take his birth, and display his childhood pastimes. And Akrura would later go to Vrindavan and bring Krishna and Balaram to Mathura. The word Paryupashate is significant because it indicates that some devotees wanted to stay near Kamsa in order to see all these pastimes of the Lord. The six children killed by Kamsa had formerly been the sons of Marichi, but because of having been cursed by a Brahmana, they were obliged to take birth as grandsons of Hiranyakashipu. Kamsa had taken his birth as Kalanimi, and now he was obliged to kill his own sons. This was a mystery. As soon as the sons of Devaki were killed, they would return to their original place. The devotees wanted to see this also. Generally speaking, no one kills his own nephews, but Kamsa was so cruel that he did so without hesitation. Ananta, Shankarsana, belongs to the second Chaturbhuja, or the quadruple expansion. This is the opinion of experienced commentators. Om Agyanantimidandasya Jananjanan Shalakayo Chakshur Milintandina Tasmai Sri Guruvi. translation. Some of their relatives, however, began to follow Kamsa's principles and act in his service. So here the reason why some of the devotees, they stayed with in Mathura, where Kamsa was ruling. The different members of the different Jadu dynasties. But some of them fled out of fear of Kamsa, and they were living in the hiding, even living in the caves of the mountains, out of the presence of Kamsa. But some of the devotees stayed there. It particularly mentions Akrura and others. So Akrura, why is he waiting to serve Kamsa, the demon? And Akrura is such a great devotee. It's because if he's around Kamsa, then Kamsa has got the blessing or curse that the eighth child of Devaki will kill him. Kill Kamsa. So that's the prediction, that the Lord's going to come and kill Kamsa. So the devotees think, oh great, the Lord's going to come, we'll wait. It doesn't matter, Kamsa is a big demon, and we'll just say, yes sir, yes sir, yes sir, we'll pacify him, but we'll stay in his company and act as friends. But then we're going to witness when the Supreme Personality of Godhead personally appears from Devaki. And then he will perform many pastimes in Vrindavan as a child, and then he'll go back to Mathura and begin his pastimes. His pastimes Krishna performed when he was a child. But when he left Vrindavan, then he became serious. He acted more like a man, and he had this responsibility, he had a duty. Before that, it was all playing, nothing. But now he's gone to Mathura, he's changed his whole consciousness, he's 16 years old. And, so now he's serious, become a serious man, therefore he can speak Bhagavad Gita. He can marry 16,000 queens and deal with them. So we can't use that excuse. Sometimes devotees use the excuse. It's prasadam, so we steal it. When the devotees first came to Vrindavan, they were going down Loy Bazaar on a rickshaw, and there was all the misty, the sweet olives were there, had their sweets and everything. They would go past in the rickshaw and they would grab sweets and things. They said, prasadam. Krishna's prasadam. So we're honoring the Mahaprasad. They were doing it quite often, and then Vishwamba Goswami from the Radharaman temple, he complained to Prabhupada. He said, your disciples are like young lions, just going through the streets carefree and taking what they want to eat. And but Prabhupada said, no, he said, you can ask them, go to the sweet shop, they don't mind giving you, you can ask a little bit, they will give you a little taste, you want to see what the sweets are like. He said, but you don't take all the sweets. So when Krishna, he left Vrindavan, then he acted responsibly. He didn't steal sweets anymore. Previously, he was very expert at stealing butter and the yogurts, different things. But he gave all that up, and he went to Mathura, he became responsible person, king. So we cannot imitate Krishna, that stealing pastime. Unless you're a child, you can do that. So, there's a mystery here. Prabhupada said this is a mystery about Kamsa. Previously he's taken birth as Kalanimini. Kalamini. Nimi. Kalanimi. So these Vishwanath Chakrabarty gives some insight to the six children who appeared from Devaki's womb. They were all killed one after another by Kamsa. So, formerly they have been the sons of Marichi. Marichi represents the mind, or an incarnation of the mind. And the the six sons. So Marichi is the mind, and they also represent the different. Taste. Anyway, they'll take birth as the sons of Hiranyakashipu. So he gives us this, like, a symbolic understanding that the six children, they represented calm, crowd, lobe, moho, matcha, lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and envy. So the idea is that when Kamsa was killing these babies one and after another, he was killing, they represented calm, crowd, lobe, moho, matcha. So they were in the womb of Devaki. Devaki is transcendental personality. So how these asuras got in the same place? Anyway, somehow or another they were there. So as Kamsa was killing them one by one, they represented the death, the finish of calm, lust, anger, greed. And then, so the womb was free from those bad qualities, calm, crowd, lobe, etc. Her womb became to the mode of goodness, because she had destroyed calm, crowd, lobe, that was in the heart, in the stomach. Because of the demoniac children who were born there. So then her womb becomes purified, comes up to the mode of goodness, because all the bad qualities are destroyed. But Krishna cannot appear there, because it's still the mode of goodness. So Krishna only appears in Shuddha-sattva. So then Balaram, by arrangement, he's transferred to the womb of Devaki. The Balaram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he spiritualizes, transcendentalizes the womb of Devaki. So first all the bad qualities are destroyed one by one. Then Balaram appears and turns it into Shuddha-sattva, or pure goodness. Balaram appears and then now Krishna can appear into the womb of Devaki, because wherever Krishna is going to appear, Anantadev, Balaram will expand. He expands as Anantadev. So Krishna can sleep nicely on the bed of Ananta. Snake is very soft. It's firm, but it's soft. It can. So you can make a nice bed, because it's very strong. I don't know if you ever played with snakes when you were kids, but they have that. They're kind of very muscular. Everything is muscular, so they can just move their body and fit exactly your body. So Krishna can lie down like that, and this Ananta can just fill up the gaps, and so we have a perfect bed, very, very comfortable. They're always trying to copy Krishna and his activities. Prabhupada said one time there was a swimming pool. Oh, and I think it was on the ocean, and someone was lying on the air bed, you know, the rubber bed, floated. And they're lying on the rubber bed. And Prabhupada said, you see, imitating Ananda Dev. And Krishna lying on Ananda Dev. A long time ago in England, they maybe in America too, but they made a bed made to measure bathtub. You remember bathtub? You lay down in the bathtub, and then it's kind of gets a mold or an impression that makes an impression of your body when you're just laying there, the most comfortable position. You get a mold on the body, then they make it into a bathtub. So when you go and take your bath and want to relax, you lay down and it exactly fits your body, all the contours and everything. Again, imitating Krishna. So Krishna, he is personified, is actually the snake, Ananda Dev. So he becomes the perfect bed. So wherever Krishna comes, Ananda Dev will come. He expands as Krishna's shoes, because Krishna's going to put his feet in the shoes. He's Krishna's couch, where Krishna will sit. Krishna's bed. Krishna's dham, just like Balaram, when Nityananda Prabhu expands as Mayapur, Navadi dham. Because Gauranga's going to come and put his feet here and perform pastimes. So wherever Krishna or Gauranga are coming, then Ananda Dev will be there as his greatest servant, seeing to his comfort and assisting in his program, all of his programs, especially at the end of the universe. Ananda Dev, he has the service of destroying the whole universe when it's time. So the fire comes from his mouth and he starts to burn up. Because this is all scheduled and by Krishna, all these different pastimes. So when it's time to wind up the universe, and Ananda Dev takes that responsibility. And he breathes fire. He's angry. Otherwise, destruction. Fire means destruction. He's destroying. That means tamagun. So, unless you're angry, it's difficult to come to tamagun. So he becomes angry. Ananta Deva also becomes angry. Those stupid living entities in the material world, they got all facilities. Krishna personally came. The pastimes were performed. But still, and Krishna speaks personally, Bhagavad Gita, and so much instruction is there, but those stupid living entities of Kali Yuga, I guess all the Yugas, they didn't take to Krishna's instructions, and now they're still rotating in this horrible cycle of birth and death. What is the use? We gave them an opportunity. Krishna woke up from the very beginning when the personified Vedas were chanting. They woke him up, and they said, you're full of great qualities, the greatest of all your qualities. This is personified Vedas are chanting around Krishna's bed to wake him up in the morning. Just as a king has professional reciters, when he wakes up in the morning, he's laying in his bed in his palace, and the professional reciters come, oh Maharaj, da, 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 such and such, you are such a great king. You've got, 10,000 elephants. You killed that king rascal, such and such. You killed that king. You killed all your enemies. You got so much wealth. And the king, he wakes up. I like this. At least he's hearing his glories. He likes it. So similarly, when Krishna's lying in yoga nidra, the personified Vedas come and they start to chant his glories. So he wakes up hearing his glories. But they mention, all your glories, Krishna, the greatest of all your glories, is that you have mercy on the living entities. You show your compassion to the living entities who are bound up in this. So please, please wake up. Wake up and come and help the living entities. It's time for your incarnations to come. So this is Krishna's greatest qualification, is that he has mercy on the living entities. But because they don't take the mercy, the living entities are so foolish, Ananta becomes angry. What was the use of the whole creation? To get you back home back to Godhead, but you're still loitering in the material world. Stupid people. Therefore, might as well kill them all and start again. Then he blows flames all over and burns everything destroyed. That's his final pastime before the next Leela again. So Balaram, Shankarshan, he appears in the womb of Devaki and he spiritualizes it. Then Krishna comes, takes his birth there. So now pastime of birth can take place. Everything is transcendental. All the bad qualities are finished. Only the good qualities are there. So, so Devaki was becoming purified in the pastime. And symbolically, Devaki, she represents bhakti, because she is giving birth to the personality, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Where is the Supreme Lord born from? Where does he appear? He appears from bhakti. Bhakti mamabhajan. I can only be known by bhakti. I appear where there is bhakti. So Devaki, she represents bhakti because she gives birth to the Supreme Lord, Supreme Bhakta, Supreme Bhakti, Krishna. So she represents bhakti because she gives birth to Krishna bhakti. And Kamsa, symbolic, he represents fear. He's fearful of the eighth son of Devaki will kill you. Narada told Kamsa that. The eighth son of Devaki, the prophecy was there for the oracle, the Akashvani, from the sky. The eighth son of this of Devaki will kill you, Krishna. We're going to kill Kamsa. Kill Kamsa. So Kamsa was always in fear. Very fearful. The eighth son is going to kill me. He was so fearful that he started to remember all the time Krishna. Narada said, he's already taken birth. Krishna's taken birth in another place. So then comes, at any time he can come, he's taken birth. So then Kamsa, he became very Krishna conscious. He was remembering Krishna. He would see. He's going to the court, king's court, Darbar. They go to court. So he's going to the court with all the ministers to discuss the policies about the kingdom, etc. And he sees, eight steps. He's got to go up these eight steps to get it. Eight steps. The eighth son of Devaki is going to kill me. And he goes in the courthouse. Eight ministers are here. The eighth son of Krishna is going to kill me. Eighth son of Devaki is going to kill me. So like that, he was constantly remembering it. And Narada Muni said, I'd like to be Krishna conscious like Kamsa. He's expressing it. the bhakti of how he is constantly absorbed in Krishna. Unfavorably, that's the problem, it was unfavorable. So anyway, Kamsa was fear, he caused fear for others. Because Kamsa, he meant the death of Krishna. He's going to kill Krishna. So the devotees, he puts fear in the devotees. Especially Devaki, he's coming to kill my Krishna, he's coming to kill my bhakti. So they're all, everyone's fearful. Here comes Kamsa, he's going to kill my bhakti. But this fear is very, very purifying. And one should be fearful, Prabhupada said. You should be very fearful of the material energy. Very fearful. It's a very purifying process, fear. So like this, by constantly seeing Kamsa's coming, then Devaki became completely pure. All the Asuragarbha children were killed, all the bad qualities were killed, and then the fear of Kamsa killing Krishna, that was also destroyed by fear. So fear is very good for devotees. They should fear their existence in the material world. You should pray for that. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, when you go before the Lord, you should ask for something. Let's ask not for material things, but ask for something, because you're approaching God and He is the Supreme, He can give you anything, He can do it. It's etiquette. You go to such a personality that you should ask for something. You go to a big, big, big rich man, it's expected you're going to ask for something. But He gives you the prayers that He says, or the mood, the attitude of asking Krishna for something. He said, first when you go to before the Lord, paying your obeisances, and you pray to the Lord that I am bound up in this ocean of material existence. This material existence is full of alligators, timingila fish, sharks, crocodiles, and they are chewing me and eating me. I'm trying to enjoy in this river of material existence, and I'm being beaten and chewed up and all the time. So he says you should pray like that. Then offer prayers to the Lord and ask Him to help you spiritually, remove karma, krodha, lobha, moha. So many things we can ask the Lord for in devotional service. We want facilities for devotional service. We can pray for that, because Krishna can give. So that is what is conducive for devotional service. But we shouldn't pray materially. It's not necessary to pray for material things. So In the introduction to this chapter, he's talking about Baladev, and he's not different from Shankarshan, Anantadev. So this is the Lord. He acts in so many ways. Parashya Shakti Vividevi. He has unlimited energies. Different types of energies, and they all expand whenever they're needed, these different energies. So, but sometimes we get some contradiction. One acharya saying something, another acharya saying something else. It appears like a contradiction, but It's not contradiction, but because bhakti is like its mood. And if someone's absorbed in his bhakti, we're talking about the perfected souls, but when you're absorbed in bhakti, that's all that is existing with a particular aspect of bhakti. That's all that is existing at that time. So your absorption in it. So when sometimes the acharyas say one thing, maybe they're speaking from the mood they're in right now, you know, where they're compiling something or they're speaking something. It's to do with the mood that they're in right now. So therefore someone else, he may have another angle of vision on bhakti and discussing the same thing, but this appears to be like a little contradiction. So we're dealing with the Lord who has unlimited energies. regarding these different expansions and knowledge is there if you want to know. I asked Radhanath Maharaj, we went to Tirupati. We was climbing up the hill, very high hill. Now that hill is none different than Anandadev. If you actually from down, if you go down the bottom of the hill, you look at the mountain range, it's like the hoods of Ananda, you know, he has many hoods. You see it quite clearly. So Anandadev, he becomes the all those hills there, and where Krishna comes and performs his pastime place. So oh, that's right. So Madhavacharya, the Ramanujacharya, he's also incarnation of Anandadev. So when he went to Tirupati, he would go up to see Balaji, but he wouldn't walk up on his feet, he would walk up on his knees out of his respect for Anantadev. The hill is Anantadev, then how we can walk, put your feet and walk up. So he would walk up on his knees, I guess on his fours, all fours. So I asked Radhanath Maharaj, that how come he's walking up on his knees? He is Anantadev. Ananta's there, supporting the place. So why he's the same Anantadev, so what is why the necessity for him to walk up on his knees? And he said, yeah, they are the same person, Anantadev and Ramanujacharya. He said, but in tattva they are the same. There's no difference. But in rasa they are different. So there's two personalities, the same person. They're the same tattva, in truth they're the same. But in rasa, one is acting as a devotee and one is acting as the Supreme Lord. So that is the rasa. So we make it some seemingly contradiction sometimes. I was in Prabhupada's room one time and Achyutananda Maharaj, he said, Srila Prabhupada, are the cowboys in Bhav? And Prabhupada went, yeah, Mahabhav. He was kind of absorbed in that in the moment. I don't know what Prabhupada's relationship is, but anyway, he just kind of went into this mood. But the cowboys in Bhav, and Prabhupada, yeah, yeah, Mahabhav. So that was his sentiment. So it may appear some people may translate in a different form a different sentiment. But anyway, this is the Bhakti is making Krishna come from bhakti. And bhakti is unlimited, so all these different pastimes of the Lord, all the different incarnations. Parasya Shakti, Vivida, he has unlimited qualities, like the waves on the river, you can't count them. You stand on the ocean shore and try to count all the waves coming in. Very difficult, it's impossible. I think it's in Krishna book, if one can count all the waves on the ocean, they can count all the grains of dust in the universe, but you won't be able to count the qualities of Krishna, something like that. Vishwanath Chakrabartitaka says in one place, actually Ananta Devi, he's counted, Ananta Devi has counted all those glories. Well, he knows how many grains of sand and how many waves are there. He does know, but still he doesn't fully understand. The pastimes of Krishna. Okay. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Any comment or question? Jivanal Prabhu.
Srila Prabhupada once said to the American disciples, he says, the problem with you is you have no fear of Maya. So I was wondering, you were mentioning that we all should have a fear. We should pray for this fear. So I wonder if you could just explain what kind of fear we're supposed to have.
We don't have to pray for it, it's already here. Where is it mentioned? Anyway, Prabhupada said that the very moment you forget Krishna consciousness, at that time you're stuck again on the samsara, the cycle of birth. It's there all the time. The very moment you forget Krishna, you're stuck in the cycle of birth. And the very moment you remember Krishna, from that moment on, as long as you don't forget Krishna, you're free from that samsara business, cycle of birth. You're on the path of deathlessness, Prabhupada. You use that term. Deathlessness. The very moment you remember Krishna and take to Krishna, you're on the path of deathlessness. Nothing can interfere with that, except you. If you want to change your mind and want to enjoy the material world, then you're stuck on the path of birth and death. So fear is there at all the time. If we forget Krishna, that's a fearful situation. But we can see it at the Krishna's. The fear is, some fear is coming, interfering with our Krishna consciousness. Sometimes Krishna pushes it up a little bit to make you more fearful, to make you more. In that, what I regarded, Prabhupada said there also, said one should learn how to hold onto the lotus feet of Krishna very, very tightly. Otherwise, we could easily. Yeah, the moment we're Krishna consciousness, you're on the path. It doesn't matter if you're a new bhakta comes, or maybe you're a mother or father like that, they weren't Krishna conscious. But if you tell them to chant Hare Krishna, that very moment they're on the path of deathlessness, they go back to Godhead. They did. Son did all the work. Yeah, we should be very, very fearful. It's very, very, very difficult. We all know we have that experience. So fear. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So my disciples, the problem with my disciples, they are not frightened of Maya, Prabhupada said.
American. He actually said American disciples.
Oh, Americans.
You're
American.
Clear.
Oh, I'm out of that one. Any other question or comment? Hare Krishna.
It doesn't mention that Kamsa killed the seventh child. Am I right? Did Lord Anantadev do something else besides getting killed by Kamsa?
What? Anantadev?
Yeah, did something else happen with Ananta? He killed the six children. What happened to the seventh?
Miscarriage. Devaki, Balaram was requested to enter into the womb of Devaki, and everybody thought she had a miscarriage. And then she was transformed from Devaki's womb to Rohini's womb. And everybody thought she had a miscarriage. Okay. Okay.
What's happened of child of Rahini? What's happened of child of Rahini?
Child?
Prabhu is asking that, does the Rohini was pregnant before the Balarama came? Or so he's asking where this original child of Rohini went after the Balarama was transferred to her. So he's assuming that the Rohini was pregnant and then the Balarama was transferred to her womb.
Yeah.
So this is his assumption. So where this original child of Rohini went to?
Where is the original child?
Of Rohini.
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 The mother?
Yeah, your mother.
I think Rohini was living in Vrindavan. She went to stayed in Vrindavan. Is that right? Yes, I believe so. She went to Vrindavan and Vasudeva had 16 wives already. Most of them lived in We're in Mathura. In Mathura and Vrindavan. The other wives. They were in Mathura because... No, yeah, it mentions they were... They were living in Vrindavan and Mathura, the other wives. Was that the question? Or? No, I still didn't get it. Yeah.
Asking what happened to the original baby that was in the womb of Rohini. That's what the question is. Like one baby left and Balaram came in, what happened to the one that left? That's what he's asking. I understand the question. I don't know the answer. Yeah, the initial pregnancy was transferred somewhere. We don't know. He wants to know where.
Balaram appeared in the womb. He made her. That was the first baby, wasn't it? In the because she it was describing how she was so effulgent, and then later it says she became even more effulgent as the pregnancy developed. Jiva Goswami says in Gopala Champu. Rohini went to Vrindavan. Rohini was already pregnant from Vasudev when she went to Vrindavan.
So Sri Jiva Goswami described in Gopala Champu that Rohini went to Vrindavan. She was already pregnant from Vasudev. Otherwise, when she got to Balaram, everyone suspect what happened. Her husband is not here. She is suddenly pregnant. So she has to be pregnant before she went to Vrindavan from Vasudev. Then what happened to that pregnancy was when Yogamaya was ordered by Krishna to carry the seventh pregnancy of Devaki to Rohini's womb. She did that, but before that she made Rohini's first pregnancy discarded.
She made last sentence.
Yogamaya was ordered by Krishna to carry seventh pregnancy of Devaki to Rohini's womb, but somebody else was already there. So she arranged that first pregnancy of Rohini to be miscarried. Then she put the Devaki's seventh son, that is Balaram, in the womb of Rohini. So nobody would suspect that Rohini got pregnancy without husband. That's from Jiva Goswami's Gopala Champu.
Thank you. Did you get it? Okay. Thank you. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Jai Go Prema Nandi.